Let me take you back. Let me take you back to 1981. G'day everyone, it's Ian Cass here. Back in 1981, I just finished my apprenticeship as a pattern maker, and it was time to move on in my life. At 21 years of age, I'd been skydiving for three years. I started when I was a second year apprentice. I took up skydiving because I needed something to do on the weekends. I was a bit bored. Go to work during the week, and on the weekends I didn't have anything to do, so I thought, well, why not throw myself out of an aeroplane? I'd always wanted to do that. Went all the way back to 1968 when my father and I used to sit down and watch an old US TV show called Ripcord, where the bad guys would be running through the desert or the forest, or there'd be a bushfire, or there'd be some kitten in a tree, and these daredevil parachutists would leap from an aeroplane and rescue the maiden in distress. One of those cliche style shows that were around back in the 60s. And Dad used to say, I'd love to do that one day. And I used to say, as an 8 year old, I'm going to do that one day. And eventually, a month short of my 18th birthday, I took up skydiving and I really embraced it. And I did it for a good long while in my life, two periods. I had a second innings in my mid 30s. But the first innings from 18 through to about 25 years of age was when I became an instructor initially at the age of only 19. And by 21, I already had a couple of years instructing under the belt. And I finished my apprenticeship. And the previous Christmas, I had met this sweet young lady who I was rather smitten with. I was hit with the smitten stick, as I'd like to say. I'd met her at the Australian Parachute Nationals the previous Christmas. And now that my apprenticeship was done and dusted, I was free. I could break my familiar and childhood bond and go and find my own place in the world. So I thought I'd chase her to Sydney, which I did. So I resigned and headed off to Sydney with everything I owned. And I settled into Sydney life. And while working during the week, I needed continue my activities. So both Gail and I, and Gail was also a jumper, that's how come I met her, we used to go up to the Newcastle Sport Parachute Club, a three-hour drive into the Hunter Valley, just west of Newcastle. And I became quite heavily ensconced in the NSPC, the oldest parachuting club in Australia, celebrated its 50th anniversary a couple of years ago. It's been around a very long time. And I became one of the significant instructors, may I say, for those few years that we were there. Amongst the many, many, many wonderful characters, there was Jazz Shannon. Jazz had just recently been the president of the club and had formed a very tight-knit community within the group. But also Jazz was a film editor, particularly television and documentaries. And he had done a previous documentary when he was living in southeast Queensland, but around this time he decided it was time to make another documentary for TV to explain where parachuting and skydiving were at and also introduce a few of the personalities. And he produced a film called Walking on Air, which was eventually released in 1982. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is Jazz has just recently put Walking on Air up on YouTube. And it's wonderful to go back and watch this film because it's got a great many of the characters from my early adult life. It's a wonderful experience to dip my toe back in that water. As it turns out, as Jazz was putting together all the content, shooting the free-fall footage, which was often using gun cameras. These are these tiny little, I think only 200-foot, reels of 16 millimeter film that used to be placed beside the machine guns in aircraft during World War II. There were many of them still left lying around, and skydivers used to grab these gun cameras, whack them on the side of their helmets, and squirt off a bit of footage. Jazz was using gun cameras to record film, and it was all film back in these days, no GoPros, of some skydiving sequences, but also captured some ground-based activities, the personalities, the people, the social life, the campfires, the barbecues, and also the instructing and student training, which is where I step into it. Because caught up in amongst all the footage that Chaz was shooting was 21-year-old Ian training students how to be safe, understanding everything that's involved in parachuting back in the day, and actually dispatching some students. It's been a long time since I've seen Walking on Air. It's a snapshot of my life. And it was an incredibly important part of my life where I was starting to make sense of the world. Looking back, I was incredibly immature, naive. But also, in looking at my instructing style, I must admit, I'm pretty proud of it. Even at that young age, I think I we don't necessarily have maturity in everything. I know some men my age who behave like 14-year-old girls in the workshop when a woman walks in. I don't think everybody is mature in every aspect of their life. And at that age, when it comes to responsibility and teaching people how to appropriately jump out of aeroplanes, I think I had maturity. I look back on that little bit of footage and I go, yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's very okay. It's wonderful to see me as a 21-year-old doing my thing. But the thing with Walking on Air, and the thing that makes it even more significant, is I, at the time in meeting Jazz, went along to a screening at Dubs & Co., where he was working as an independent film editor. And Dubs & Co. was a sound mixing studio where they had a little theaterette and they had a back room with a film projector and all these 16mm magnetic reel playback machines. And they would actually, and a big mixing desk, and they would mix down tracks all on the fly. None of this non-destructive editing that we do nowadays on computers, like this waveform I'm looking that I'm laying down right down right now on my machine. This was all on the fly editing. You know, all the reels would start turning in sync with each other, and the editor, the sound mixer would be flicking faders up and down, blending tracks all on the fly. Amazing, amazing stuff. I did a little bit of it. Never became very competent at it. And in a way, that's a bit of a regret, because I ended up being offered work there as sort of the trainee, you'd say. I was the backroom boy. I was the one who would lace up all of the dubbing machines, the projector, and I would look after the back room. I would also look after clients who came in who wanted some sound effects maybe recorded off record or off the archive of recordings that were available that we had for them. Recording voiceovers in the voiceover booth, things like that. I was the junior. And I wouldn't say regret, because you only get one shot at life and you make the most of it, don't you? But I look back on that time and wish that I had have had an awareness of the opportunities that were being made available to me. I don't even think the opportunities were being noted by the people who were making them available to me. I think they were just had the situation available, but I really did drop the ball there. I could have become a film editor. I could have become a sound mixer. I could have augmented what I was learning by maybe going and doing some training. And I could have gone into the sound engineering film industry in a big way. I didn't take those advantages. So I was more interested in just working during the weekend, going skydiving on weekends. So I didn't fully embrace the opportunities that were presented to me. So I look back on that with a certain amount of, I could have taken a slightly different path in life, but that's the way life is. In amongst all that, Jazz was making Walking on Air and putting it all together. And I was quite heavily involved in assisting him from time to time, bits and pieces, a little bit of recording here, a little bit of editing there, and just helping him out with a few things that I was capable of doing. We're talking about very minor things. There's a couple times during Walking on Air where you hear in the audio track my voice, if you know where my voice is, because it was dubbed in later. So there are little things like that being done. I saw Walking on Air during the pre-production phase 20-30 times, I suppose. The only person who saw it more than myself was Jazz. I saw it during the mixing process, during the editing process. I saw it during the early screening days. I saw it so many times. It's an incredibly important film for two reasons. One is it was part of my first introduction to audio, video, film, post-production. And who knows how much of that echoes through to what I do here on Audioboo, but also with my podcasts. Maybe it gives me a little bit of familiarity with messing about when I'm video editing. I don't know. I'm not competent at all those things. I've never become a truly skilled professional at it, but I have a certain familiarity with it, and I think it's simply because I was hanging around it back in the old analog days of 16mm film and magnetic tape, quarter inch and 16mm magnetic tape. I saw that in my early 20s and I became quite familiar with it and started to understand it. The quarter inch machines that were very common at the time were Nagra. Reel-to-reel tape recorders. And a matter of fact, I'm actually watching a Nagra on eBay at the moment, wondering if I might be able to pick it up as a memento of those days. But the second reason that Walking on Air was important to me was also because of the film, because I was in it as the instructor who happened to be there on the day when they were doing the filming. And a snapshot of my youth was caught. And there are people in my life who've never seen that. This audio boo that I'm recording right now that you're listening to is also going to be embedded on my site at iancath.com, where you can find the embed of Walking on Air if you're at all interested. It's a personal snapshot of my life, and it's an incredibly important part of those early formative years that has led to many, many things. It shows a significant time where I was finishing my trade, learning audio, continuing the development of my parachuting life, and also meeting the woman who would eventually be the mother of my daughter. It was an incredibly important time, and it's wonderful to see Walking on Air. And if you ever listen to this, Jazz, thanks for making Walking on Air. It has forever meant a great deal to all of us in the skydiving community, and to me personally, it means a great deal. Ah, yes, when we were all young, vibrant, and youthful, 33 years ago.